Okay, welcome to the show. This is TED Talks Too Much. I'm your host, Ted Moss, in our mobile studios down in Florida today. And it's February. That's right, we've got Valentine's Day coming up. And because of that, I've got a replay of my one-year anniversary show where I had Mr. Ron Rigby and Billy Reno talking about their first girlfriends, their sweethearts from years ago. I thought it was appropriate. So it's going to be a fun show. Check that out. And also, if you happen to be interested in doing stand-up comedy, don't forget to look for the Funny 15 Masterclass in Stand-Up Comedy. You'll find it on Udemy, and there's a link. It's on discount right now, so if you want to suffer through stand-up comedy with the rest of us, check that out. We've got a real deal going, 40% off this month. But in any case, onward and upward, here's the show.
I'm saying, what am I hearing? I'm hearing a fucking Sasquatch or something.
I wonder if I could do that through the whole thing. Like, every time Ron and Ted are talking,
I'm getting feedback.
This is so boring.
Ted, we're going to come back, and Ted's going to have his little thing there taken apart. He's trying to figure out which wires are crossed.
Are you recording, Ted, now?
Yes. Yes.
Well, generally, when you're on a show, they'll say, like, okay, you're ready to start.
I'm going to actually give you the... See, what we do is we do a little gabbing insight to the background of the show.
I noticed that you don't start your shows with dead start. Let's start. No. It's always like, what did you say?
Yeah.
And the guy's like, well, then I told him, fuck that. You know? And I'm like, what were they talking about?
It's very clever. Let's start.
People are looking at their podcast like, do I need to read? What did I miss something? Did I come in? Was I already listening to this once before?
And all right. This is my 1 year anniversary show, and we've got Mr. Billy Reno and we've got Mr. Ron Rigby. And that means we're going to do a three-person show. I've never done this before.
Three-way.
Yeah. This is my first three-way, so we'll see how this goes.
This is your first three-way with two guys.
Yeah, two guys. You did that girl and that Great Dane that one time.
What was that joke somebody did? She was nursing. It was a baby or something.
Yeah, Bouchard.
That's Bouchard.
His joke. Yeah.
Had the first three-way.
Yeah. That's Bouchard. I thought it was Sal for a second, but then I'm like, Bill. Yeah. That was Bill.
Well, how you guys doing?
Good.
Yeah, I'm great.
Great to be back, man.
Yeah.
1 year. What was it, a year ago that I was here, do you think?
You know, not quite, because
I was like the fourth person.
Yeah, that's right. You were supposed to be first, but we went through that where you didn't show up.
Oh, no, I didn't show up. I just couldn't make it.
I wasn't the first choice for the show. I'm out.
Billy just acted like he was going to leave, but everyone knows.
I think Billy, you were second.
Oh, geez, I'm sorry.
Oh, Ron.
Oh, God. You are so popular.
No, it's Arizona. That's nothing. I'm going to just...
Well, turn off your fucking phone.
I forgot.
I thought maybe it was a time to take your meds or something.
Yeah. Well. Again?
Always is.
Yeah. But, Ron, you were about fourth or fifth, somewhere in there. And, Billy, I think you were second after Chris Lazar.
Yeah. Yes, I was after Chris. So, Chris was your first one.
Yeah. Right. So, you were the second podcast. And, Ron, I remember we had a conversation about... You know, you were sorry that you hadn't showed up earlier. And I said, I was waiting for you. And you said, bullshit.
Right. Yep. That was it.
Yeah.
And I ended up calling Ted still looks peeved about that.
He's still a soft spot with him.
He's boring a hole into you as he said that.
He tends to hold on to stuff too long, you know.
Yeah.
Look at his hair is getting lighter from it, you know.
Oh, you weren't there Friday night.
Yeah.
Tim Finkel just... went off on Ted about his hair. Yeah, it was hilarious.
It was hilarious to some people. Other people were offended. I won't mention who was who.
Yeah, that's funny.
I actually got a note from Tim, a text next day, because Tim had been drinking a bit.
Yeah.
And he went a little bit hard. You know, the funny thing about that was I was sitting at the table next to Tim, and I ordered a Clue and Cream, which looked like a glass of milk.
Yeah.
He went hard on the middle at the table, too, earlier. Then I had been really nice to his wife, talking about Christmas and family and trying to be engaged. Because she said kind of... just sitting there, and he was off, so I was being polite. So I'm being really kind, and he sits down and just starts hammering me. Then we gather in a group after the show, and he goes, I'm not finished.
That was only round one?
Yeah. They were asking.
But you know what's funny, too, is before that show, Tim and I we're talking because Paolo Buzignani is getting married. And his bachelor party, one of his guys said, hey, you should have some of your comedian friends come roast you. So Paolo, you know, he asked me if I wanted to do it. And I was like, I don't, you know, I'm not good at that stuff. And he goes, yeah, Tim Finkel said, Finkel said that I'm too nice of a guy. And that's what I said after Tim went off on Ted's hair. I'm like, see, Tim, you can do it.
Yeah. You aren't nice at all.
Yeah, you can do it. You got a mean streak.
All you got to do is have three of those fucking M43 beers and you'll go off.
Yeah, just tune up a little bit.
Yeah. I can't even remember what Tim said, but we were laughing our asses off.
I remember, but I'm not
going
to repeat it.
Yeah.
It's scorched into me. So
you know what's weird is that I didn't. When you walked in, I just thought, I didn't even notice it. I'm like, Ted's always had kind of gray hair.
But,
you know, it wasn't, the lights weren't way up and all that stuff. You know, now I can see it's obviously hilarious looking, but,
I'm only dating women with poor vision at this point.
No, but you know what? If it wasn't for your dark roots, I wouldn't even notice it, but I can see your dark, you know, you're pretty dark still. You're not.
Yeah.
I always thought you were a lot grayer than your roots are.
So did I.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, who knows? No, it doesn't really matter at this point. I'm just glad to have hair, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
It's a plus. Yeah. You have a lot of hair.
Yeah.
For being quite old. Yours is opposite. Your hair is dark and your beard
is
gray.
Exactly right. And I'm going to I dye my gray beard because I think it looks stupid.
You bleach it? Yeah.
Well, no. I'm going to.
Oh, you make it brown?
I'm going to make it brown, yeah. Because I think it looks stupid with the dark hair.
It does.
And people, right. And everyone thinks I dye my hair because is so light, you know, so. But I don't. It's just the way it is.
Some gray in your hair, though.
I do, but it's weird. It doesn't show up a lot like some people. It's not real contrasting, so you can't see it that. Yeah. Like my pubes, you can tell right away.
Right.
You know, my head on my head, not as much.
My problem is my ears are too low, which means I have a lot of room for hair between the top of my head and my ears.
Yeah.
It just gets too bushy.
Well, you got like 17-year-old hair on your head still.
Did you measure your ears? Is that like, yeah, how do you know your ears are too low?
No, because every time I put glasses on, they're doing a wheelie. You know what I mean?
That's funny. You laugh, but I do have like one of my ears is lower, so my glasses sit like this on my face all the time.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
I try to like push one up to make it look level, especially in pictures. You'll notice I'm like, damn it, my glasses are tilted, but I think my ear is lower. That's
for
all
pictures,
I can be.
Just take your glasses off.
I should, yeah. But, they cover a lot of bags under your eyes, Bill.
I had a girl that worked for me in the restaurant when I was a line supervisor at Schinzel's, and she came in with crooked glasses, and she did it for the first couple of days, and I didn't want to embarrass her. And eventually, I said, hey, your glasses are really crooked. And she lifted up her hair and said, I don't have an ear on that side. I said, I'm an asshole. Yeah. Like, oh, nice to meet you.
Before that, did you say, and your hearing sucks too?
No.
Ted, you know, I've known you a while. You've had a lot of jobs. I've never heard of Schnitzels before.
Schnitzels. It was Schnitzels Cafeteria. Yeah, I actually.
What is it? Is that at school? Up at school?
No. This was when I was like 15 years old, walking to the mall, and they had a cafeteria style restaurant.
Oh.
And I went out
like
there.
Like a Sweden House.
Yeah, exactly like the Sweden House. Mm-hmm. And I walked up there because it was like less than a quarter mile from my house, middle of the summer. It was 90 degrees out, and I put on a wool suit to apply for this job because, other than my paper route, it was like my first official, you know, applying for a job.
Right, right.
And because I wore a suit and everybody else wore their school clothes, when they opened up, they made me the line supervisor.
Wow.
They had to pick somebody, and I was the guy that showed up in a suit. So everybody fucking hated me, you know. Nobody's your friend if you're the supervisor.
No. Billy and I were just getting food on the way here, and there was a kid, young kid, being interviewed in a booth when I was ordering and stuff. And so then I went back out to the car and sat down with Billy to wait for the order. And I'm like, that kid's being interviewed right there. Billy's like, when you walk back in, you should say, hey, Jimmy, are you still cooking meth? Or, you know, you're out of...
Help him out.
When'd you get out of prison? Yeah. Good to see you, man. You know?
You're on parole again?
Yeah. They let you out?
Yeah.
Damn it. How's the rape charge? Did you get off of that? Or
when
what?
Is the last time you interviewed for a job, Ron? Do you remember being interviewed for a job?
Well, it would have been before 1988, so that would have been, you know.
Wow.
And even before 88, I sold real estate from 82 to 88, and you don't really interview much there.
Yeah.
So it would have probably been before 82 even.
And Billy, you interview for jobs almost monthly.
Yes. 2 weeks ago I interviewed.
No, it's true. He really does, right?
Yeah.
I've always... job-getting guy.
Before I started doing comedy, one of the things I was the most proud of was the fact that I didn't have a lot of different jobs. I mean, I was with Bonefish Grill is part of Outback Steakhouse, and I've been with them for 20-something years.
Right.
Wow. So I was always proud of the fact that I don't have a lot of... But since I started doing comedy, I've had, like, probably 20-something jobs in the last 6 or 7 years.
Wow.
But you must be good at getting them, though. I mean, you must go through the interviews where you know what the questions are coming up and all that kind of stuff.
As long as they don't ask me, so why so many jobs?
Yeah. Like, is interviewing nervous? Make you nervous, like comedy? Like maybe a
The interview?
Yeah.
No.
No?
No, because I go into every job with, I don't care if I get it or not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Every job I approach, I'm like, yeah, if I get it, I get it. If I don't,
right, because they're not like careers. You're just looking for something to fill in between comedy.
It's something to help me keep doing comedy. Right.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I can't do, and I know there's people that do it. I mean, you guys obviously did it. Well, you were retired, Ted, but you have your own business, and like Hanson was an attorney, and I know other people that had careers and still managed to do comedy, but I couldn't do it.
Right.
Mainly because my only career was in restaurants, and restaurants, I have the busy times. The busy times are at night, and that's when comedy shows up, it was,
Real estate's like bars, though, kind of flexible. They kind of are more lenient about giving you time off?
Well, not when you're the manager. Oh. Not if it's a career, if I'm a general manager.
Yeah.
But the other thing, too, is if I'm a server or bartender, the busiest nights are Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And if I'm off doing comedy,
right?
Like, yeah, I can come in on a Monday and make $50, but I work in the weekend where you're going to make $200 or something.
I remember watching Billy Ray Bauer one time at One Night Stands, and he said that he hadn't been to a wedding in like 23 years. And I remember thinking, that just hit me right. I never thought, like, these guys don't get to go to anything.
Right.
If you're a headliner that's touring all the time, you miss everything on the weekend. You know,
I wouldn't say that's missing. Like,
well, you know.
Weddings are a pain.
You know what I mean?
You aren't available. I remember working second shift in the shop. And working 6 days a week minimum, sometimes seven, but 6 days minimum, second shift,
you miss everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's 3 to 12, something like that.
If they're working 8 hours, it starts at 2, they start at 6 and go to 2. Oh. But if they switch it to 10 hours, and then you're starting
noon.
Then you're starting 2 hours later.
Oh, later.
Yeah. So now you're going in at 4.
4 and working till.
Yeah. If you're doing 12 hours, you're going in at 6 at night and getting out at 6 in the morning. And you're working all the weekends. And I remember, and you're sleeping when other people are up. And then, your wife wants to do something during normal hours. And if you aren't working, you're sleeping.
Right.
It's just a terrible way to live.
That's a bad system. Yeah.
What I realized recently was my first official job as a paperboy was interesting because it was 7 days a week, no excuses.
Yeah.
No days off.
No.
Not you're going to work during every holiday, Christmas, New Year's, 4th of July, your birthday. No days off. And it was only probably 3 to 4 hours a day. But on the weekends, you had to work more because you had to collect.
Yeah.
But if you talk to anybody about starting a new job, and say, look, you can have no days off.
Right.
At least for the first year and a half.
Yep.
What do you think? They'd say, no, but this is what 15-year-old boys used to do.
You were pumped to do it. I remember paper route, too. I loved it.
And back when Ted was, when you were 15, Ted, it wasn't a paper boy. You were the town crier.
Yeah, so I stood on the corner.
Extra.
A lot of times the horses didn't feel like getting out.
I hated those hats. They were so big.
See, Billy, that's how you tell a fucking joke, right there.
See, that's how much of an idiot I am sometimes. I'm like, well, that just sounds crazy.
No, that was the truth, Joey. That was a true story. That was not a joke.
When I first started doing comedy, I don't remember who it was. Maybe it was Tom McCarthy. I don't remember who it was. We were at Ridley's at the open mic, and he was closing out the show. Or he was the second to last. But he did a joke on stage about how he just signed a deal with HBO. And it was a Canadian.
I remember that joke. Yeah.
He's
like, I just signed you. And after the show, I'm like, hey, dude, congratulations on HBO. That's awesome. And he's just, and he's staring at me and he goes, that was a joke. And I'm like, I'm an idiot. Don't mind me.
You didn't listen to the punchline very well.
You heard the setup.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's like,
they're going to install it next week or something.
That was when, like, I just started doing comedy. And that's when I thought, like, everything you said had to have some element of truth to it.
Yeah.
Mostly truth,
Yeah.
Where that's when I realized, okay, so that doesn't have to be.
That rolled behind the door.
Oh.
Charlie's going to have a hard time.
I'll get it for him.
All right.
Thanks, Billy.
I interrupted Billy's story by throwing a treat to the dog. And it does. The whole show goes fell to behind hell. The door.
But no, you've heard Bouchard's joke he just did about, you know, his wife's a model.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's got her modeling thing coming up. She's going to be the leg on a vein commercial.
Yeah, but at least you listen to the punchline.
Yeah.
If you don't, you're congratulating him after the show like Billy does.
Billy probably said, Bill, your wife must be hot. She's a model, eh? And didn't hear the leg
part.
And
you got that new acting job out in front of...
Oh, yeah. Liberty Tax Service or something like that. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Billy only listens to setups.
Yeah, I just listen to the setup and I don't get the punchline.
Congratulations, people.
Me, Bill, and we were at the Holly Hotel. Me, Bill, and his wife were talking about people taking jokes seriously.
Yeah.
Like that. And we were going through that, and she made the comment. She goes, I really don't have varicose veins.
Right. And she has to show everybody out there after the show.
I told her, I was like, is this why you never wear shorts? Right.
I have friends of mine that say that to me, like when I have a joke about my wife smoking a lot of weed and you know, she's stoned all the time, and they'll come up to me after the show and go, I didn't know Lisa smoked that much pot.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, she doesn't.
Joel told me that people believe. But did you have the hiccups there, Ron?
No, I just had too much pizza.
Ron has issues, I think.
Sorry. I forget you can hear everything on these mics. Sorry.
That's, you know what? That's what my girlfriend said to me when I got crabs. And I told her that she needs to get herself tested because we've been together every night.
See,
for the last, and she and she told me, no, but she's like, I don't have it. And I think she thought I was going to blame her for giving it to me.
Right.
But I'm like, it doesn't matter who gave it to who.
No.
Because we should have it. How do you not? And then I'm like, how bad is your pussy? That it's like killing the crabs. Like, it's just immune
to it. They're
going
in, but they aren't coming out.
Yeah. Yeah, right. There's some kind of Roach Motel vagina you got going on there. Like, Jesus.
That was a left turn.
I know.
Yeah. Well, that's comedy, Ron. How was that joke?
Yeah.
I didn't even get the applause break in that.
You know what? I was actually going to hit the laugh thing. As soon as you said my girlfriend, I said, this has got to be a lie.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Billy didn't say this is a true story. And you know it's not.
I know. When it starts with Billy and my girlfriend, I said, how far back are we going?
Yeah. Was this in junior high?
Was this before your paper route?
So you guys used to hold hands or something? Yeah. So she was your girl?
Oh, shit.
Catching crabs by the sea, down by the lobster boats.
How old were you with your first girlfriend?
Does that mean the first girl I asked out on the date and I actually met her someplace and felt like I liked her?
No, the first girl that you said, this is my girlfriend, we're like together now.
Seventh grade,
Billy?
Yeah.
I have to think about that. Like maybe ninth grade. There was a girl before in Chicago who we were kind of like when I left and moved to Texas, we both promised each other we wouldn't see anybody else.
That was ninth.
Are you going to close your eyes a lot or what?
That was in, I was in Chicago. I was in fifth or sixth grade.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we moved to Texas, and when I left, she promised she wouldn't see anybody, and I promised I wouldn't see anybody, and I told it to my dad, and my dad's like, don't be stupid. He goes, first off, you're like 11 years old or whatever. He's like, second, you're 1,200 miles away from her. And this is before Facebook, and there's no communication. So I helped.
He said, my son is now gay, I guess. Yeah. That's what's going to happen. Yeah. You're going to become a priest. You're going to bless little boys is what you're going to. That's what I see in your future.
Okay. All right, you went really kind of dark there with the molesting. I could handle the being called gay. Yeah, but...
He's no damn molester.
Let's put a disclaimer at the beginning of the podcast. Billy Reno is not known to be or ever to have done.
Mine was sixth grade, and the only reason I remember is because I barely knew the girl.
Yeah.
And she told someone else that we were boyfriend and girlfriend.
Oh.
And I'm like, which girl is it? And she's like, that one over there. I'm like, damn, I didn't even know, you know? So it stuck in my head. And I remember going up to her. I'm like, are we boyfriend and girlfriend? She's like, yeah. I'm like, didn't even know it.
For some reason.
Is that how you got married?
Yeah. So we've been together ever since.
For some reason, I got the feeling that when you were a man and you were growing up, you were supposed to have one of those black address books with these girls'
all
phone
the numbers
in
there. Yeah.
A little black book kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember going over to this girl's house. It was not attractive at all. And thinking, you got to start somewhere. And I was in like fourth grade or fifth grade, and I went over there and I thought, I don't even like this ugly girl. Why am I here? But in first grade is the first time I ever invited a girl to do something with me because I liked her. She was Bethany Fite. She was super cute, and I invited her to go ice skating. Well, I didn't ask my parents or anybody, and she said, well, where do you want to skate at? And I told her over here, and she came up there with her skates, and I went up with my skates, and we skated. And it happened to be on a sidewalk, which was broken, and it flooded. There was a water spot on it. But I noticed walking to school, here's this huge, you know, it was probably 20 feet by 10 feet. I thought, oh, I could skate here. And so I met her on a date when I was like in first grade or something. We ice skated together.
I kissed a girl on the cheek in like second or third grade. We were walking home from school.
Her left one and, or her right one?
It would have been her right. Yeah, but not down there. Not those cheeks. But she hit me with her lunchbox. One of those little metal aluminum lunchbox. Yeah. She just turned around and smack. Yeah. Kelly Rogus. It was we were friends with this family, the Roguses. There was you know, they had kids all the age of me and my brother, so we were all paired together, up with friends. Yeah. She was the younger sister. She was like a year younger than me, but, you know, I kind of had a crush on her. She did have a crush on me, but I guess I just, she was a me too. Now I'm like, I'm a me too because I leaned over and kissed her on the cheek as we were walking home.
When I was in third grade, my third grade teacher, I was doing something she didn't like, and she said to me, Ron, if you do that again, I'm going to kiss you. And I did it again, and she walked over and kissed me on the cheek, and I said to her, you don't have any sex appeal. And the reason I said that, because there was a commercial with toothpaste, and it was the big line was, this toothpaste gives you sex appeal. And I remember my parents would react to that word, so I knew it had something to do with
kissing or something.
You know, I remember her telling my mom that at like parent-teacher conferences.
Didn't she go home and commit suicide?
Mrs. Shepherd, Jesus. No, she laughed when I said it. She laughed, and no one else in the class knew what the hell
I remember either. Playing doctor with the girls in the neighborhood when I was, you know, it was before third grade. It was first, second grade sort of thing. And I remember I wanted to stay up late one night and watch TV, and my parents wouldn't let me stay up. And I wasn't sleeping.
But I'm a doctor.
I got to study.
Yeah, I'm on call.
I can't go to bed now.
But I remember I had to come up with an excuse. So I was acting like I was really upset. And then, why are you so upset? Because being upset was keeping me up. And I had to confess to something. So I confessed that I was convincing the girls in the neighborhood to get naked and let me look at them or whatever. And they didn't seem to mind that. I thought that's kind of weird. I was expecting to get in trouble, and they were no, we're good with that. Wow. Like, what the hell? All right. Wow.
Maybe because you were doing it with girls and not guys, and they were like,
I think they would have been good with either.
Maybe,
Explore, Ted.
Explore, Ted. Cough. Cough. Cough.
No, turn your head this way.
Yeah.
I always wondered why.
This is weird that you wanted to talk about.
I always wondered why the doctor made you turn your head, didn't you? And then I realized because he doesn't want you coughing in his face.
No, it's because he doesn't want to make eye contact with you while he's holding your balls in his hand. I'd be worried about the doctor who goes, now look at me. Look at me.
Look, look up at me.
At me.
I wonder if they still do that to check for a hernia. If they still,
no, they do, but they do it very quickly. Because I had to get physicals for the DOT exam.
So, are you saying when you were younger they did it for a long time? It lingered?
No, this was just last year. Last year. They just go down and feel real quick and then they take their hand.
You don't have to cough?
No.
Oh.
No. They just go down and feel real quick. Which I always think, what does that have to do with driving?
Yeah.
Well, isn't it? You're supposed to be able to tell if somebody has a rupture.
Yeah.
And I don't even know what that means, quite frankly.
So I have a hernia rupture right now.
In your balls?
No, in my stomach. Yeah, I have an abdominal hernia.
Yeah, I have a little one, too. Just a little teeny one.
Little teeny one? Well, mine, here.
Okay. Size of a quarter. No, I don't need to say that.
We're going to measure.
Thank you.
No, and then look at this on my penis.
That little teeny one?
You mean the penis can't see?
Yeah, get the magnifying glasses
out. I always think it's weird, too, that to check your prostate, they stick the finger up your ass. Like, there's nothing newer than that to do.
That's as far as medicine has advanced.
Yeah. Like, when you have a sore throat, do they stick their finger in your... No.
No.
But...
Well, you'd rather have them look up your ass?
There's not a tool. Maybe a tool they can use, you know?
I don't find tools stuck up my ass.
Maybe it's a smaller tool than a finger.
I actually requested that on my last physical with my doctor because I had not had my prostate
exam.
Yeah, exam, and she didn't do it.
She wouldn't do
she
it?
She passed.
Wow.
Well, she didn't do it, and I didn't ask for it once I got there. I thought, yeah.
Wait, you requested for her to do that?
Yeah.
I don't blame her for that. She's like, this guy's here to
doc before you leave.
This guy, I'm an ear doctor.
I want. Yeah, she's like, finger
I'm,
up my ass.
I'm an ear doctor. What's he want?
Said I'm a dentist. Yeah.
What does this have to do with getting glasses? I want to get my eyes checked and my prostate. Yeah.
I've heard that like you can have an amazing orgasm if they work your prostate right. Do you ever have anybody try that?
No, but I remember one time having an orgasm and releasing gas at the same time.
I don't think that's what I was talking just, about. Like,
just, it's in the same area.
Just loosened like, up.
That's not at all what I was referring to.
No, it's great, dude.
It's a mood killer, though. I think you know, it's not as good as you're 69ing either. You don't want to do it.
That girl was sitting around with her girlfriends, and they were talking about how they don't like the way cum tastes. And they're like, and she was like, the smell. It's not the taste. The smell.
Oh, God. You can edit a lot of this, right?
I think a man's penis is the cleanest part of a man's body. Because every time I've been in a gang shower in high school or for sports or whatever, they're in the guy that doesn't immediately take that soap and start sudsing up his groin area.
Yeah.
And then he washes the rest of his body with dick soap. They go from the dick to the face, yeah, the dick
there.
To the arms, dick.
You start there, yeah. Then you jam the bar up your asshole, then you wash your face.
That's right. You, yeah. And then if you watch them dry off, men are always rubbing the towel on their dick.
That's
because
the dick
is the cleanest
thing
on a man's body.
You
want to
fluff it a little bit.
I've never considered it a gang shower. Like, yeah. Like it's
what
like,
he said,
like, what are we going to do today, gang?
When he said the first time I was in a gang, I'm like, where is this going, man?
What do you call it when it was one big shower room with a bunch of heads?
Just shower. I know. I'm going to the shower. I'm going to go take a shower. I didn't call it like a gang shower. It wasn't.
Well, there's no bang in the gang.
I hope not. Like
gang shower style. Is that a song?
Yeah. Oh God, this is terrible content.
The racquetball club I used to go to, and that I worked at a little bit in high school. Their shower was gang shower style, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And the one maintenance guy was a really weird guy, but he would come stand right next to you, fully clothed, and he would just be having a conversation. He would be talking to you, and it's like, dude, do you mind? And you know, like first off, I'm 16.
I'm
second,
naked.
Second, I'm sitting here trying to shower.
Do you remember the guys that come up and talk to you while you're sitting on the bench, putting your shoes on, naked, and they'd put a foot up on the bench? Like, what the fuck? that's way too much information.
That's why I stop. When I go to the gym, I don't go to the locker room, unless I got to use the bathroom or something, but I don't change clothes. Well, I go there in my gym clothes, and I leave in my gym
clothes. I was talking with a friend
about
that. Like, we all used to shower, like at Bally's over the year. We all would shower and walk around naked. Well, now I'm like, why don't they do that anymore? He goes, camera phones, man. Nobody wants to get naked with all the people in their camera phones. It could be sitting there and you don't even know it. And, you know, so all the showers now at Planet Fitness, they have like areas where you can dry off that nobody can see.
Billy and I use those when we're on tour
areas,
a lot.
So it's not a gang style anymore because somebody could be just throwing it away.
Gang style
my
shower.
My shower at my house is gang style.
So is that what we're
doing after the show?
I know. I remember we did it.
Yeah, I remember. We did that one episode. That's
We all did, and then we showered.
Yeah. Ted told me he's starting a new shower podcast.
That would be good.
This is awkward, Ted.
Yeah. It's a naked podcast. You got to sit in a box, just your face comes out to talk into a mic. I didn't know they had
I'm not going to elaborate.
I will send you a dick pic if you send me your setup.
Setup. Do women send those kind of pics or just dick pic?
I'm sure they do. I'm sure there's some women.
Oh, no. They definitely send
them. They do?
Yeah.
What do they call them?
Pussy pic?
They call them, hey, look at this.
Yeah. They don't have to call them anything because they know we're looking.
You know what? First time I got one of those, because I have received those, I didn't even know how to respond via text. What do you say? Wow.
What was it a picture of, Ted?
Well, it starts out on the top.
Oh, okay.
But it eventually goes to whatever.
Wow.
I know. And the person I was talking to was a lawyer, very attractive girl, living in, I think she was in Wisconsin.
As long as you don't show your face, no one will never know. They can never pin it to you.
But the bad thing is they want a picture in return.
Yeah.
And I don't even, you know,
you should have a stock
I have a hard
photo.
Enough time doing a selfie of my
you
face.
You should have a stock photo.
I don't know what my good angle is. Are
just have
me?
A stock photo of somebody else and send it, you know, because they won't know.
Well, hold on. You and I discussed this.
Yeah. Google I think I sent you one of me.
No, but I received those.
Derek Richards does a joke about that. About
does he?
He Googled, and he was sending pictures of crickets. You didn't know crickets have dicks? Yeah. He does a whole joke series about that.
Wow.
Which, sorry, Ted. I ruined Ted. When we were on our road trip, every time Ted came up with a premise for a joke, I'm like, you know who does a joke about that?
Oh, God, yeah.
Everything's
covered. I mean, if you watch enough comedy like Billy does, and some people do, you'll hear everything eventually, you know, every joke, you know, about your prostate, about your
Ted's
girlfriend.
Well, Ted's point is, you know, when you say that, I don't even, if I start writing, I could branch off and I might branch off and think of other things and write different jokes.
That's right.
But when I see him, I say that, he just doesn't.
Stops.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go down that road. I'm sure it's been done better than I can
do. The reason Ted Moss does not do comedy anymore
is I have nothing
to say because of me. Every time he brought something up, I shut him down. I was like, nope, somebody did that.
I was watching, my wife and I blew through all 5 seasons of Breaking Bad this month.
Such a great show.
And I never knew Bill Burr was on that show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. Yeah, Bill Burr's on.
Oh, you got to always, I mean, if you're bored and want to watch something, that's a good one.
Yeah, it's a great show.
Yeah.
It's absolutely fantastic.
Man. I've been watching Below Deck. That's where my head is.
What's that?
It's one of those, it's like Housewives of New York kind of thing.
Oh, I've never heard of it.
It's about these people that work on cruise ships and all this inner drama between the people working on the ship. But I keep thinking I'm going to buy a big boat, so I like watching all the boat stuff, you know what I mean? So, and, you know, the girls are cute and the drama's silly, and I find it entertaining. So
I remember when you were going to go buy a yacht.
I still want to, you know what?
A little houseboat.
The thing, I would like to have a large boat as a cottage. All right, I guess that's going to do it for today, folks. That was a rerun of my 1-year anniversary podcast with Billy Reno and Ron Rigby. But anyhow, today is moving day for me. I'm going to be traveling from Orlando, Florida to Daytona. I actually get to be on the beach. I get to enjoy the ocean a little bit. I'm looking forward to that. And you people back up in the northern states, take care. I know it's snowy up there, and I'm glad I'm not with you. But in any case, try to be kind to each other out there, and try to be happy. And until we talk again, I'm Ted Moss. Those are my thoughts. And with that, Bob's your uncle.